how many's ready for 21 days? Yeah. Looking forward to that. Let me say right here a warm welcome to those who are just now joining us online. Come on, everyone, give it up for those who are joining us right now. Whether you're looking at this live or you sometime this afternoon, you're looking at it recorded. We're glad that you're here with us today. In fact, here's what I'd like everybody to do right now. Take your phones out and check in to Crosspoint if you haven't done so already. Hey, you know how to do that, right? This is 2017, right? Everybody knows how to do this. You know, on Facebook, go ahead and check on in online. And since we're live, open that thing up and share with your friends what's going on so they can connect with us here live. And so we can just share what's happening here at Crosspoint. Isn't this wonderful? We can do this. So be sure and help me out on that. And while you're sitting there, you know what I like to do? I like to just use this while we're watching and throw a few likes out there and some hearts and that kind of stuff and some comments, and you can see who's connecting. It's really exciting to see who at times we have that are coming in and just being a part of our service from East Coast to West Coast, from the North to the South. And it's really exciting, and even out of the country at times. And so be sure and utilize that. But we're glad to have everyone here they're watching via online. So I just want to set this next speaker up for you today. Have y'all enjoyed this series, Summer at Crosspoint? I tell you, it's been refreshing for me, and what a wonderful time that we had. What a great message we had last week that Laura brought, and it was just so life-giving. I love the way that she fakes her response. Come on, that's good stuff. Clap. That's what I'm going to start using. I told her I'm going to go there. I always say, can I get a better amen? I'm just going to say that right there is a good place for it right there. So, but what a wonderful job that she did, and good to have her family here with us as well. Well, today, Theron Hobbs Jr. is coming to share with you the word, my son, and appreciate what all he does around here. I sometimes try not to say too much because, you know, when it's your own kid, you don't want to show favoritism, but I do appreciate, and I know that you appreciate the many countless hours that he puts in. I know a lot of you put a lot of hours in. I just want to say right here, I appreciate what Theron does, his investment here at Crosspoint. His heart is in it. I live with this guy. I see his heart and hear the conversations outside of these walls. And he is very passionately in love with Jesus. And he's very passionately in love with this church and with you, and cares about you and cares about us making a difference in this world. And so just very, very proud of him. I won't say too much. You know this guy, but would you do me a favor right now? Would you give it up for Theron Jr. as he comes? Come on, Theron. Bring the word.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Let me just get set up here. So in this series, it's part six of Summer at Crosspoint. And normally, during normal message series, we have fill-in-the-blank notes for you. But today, we just are still going with the blank sheets of paper. So if you'd like to fill in notes, feel free to use those today. Also, you'll find in your worship guide, if you have one, there's a little strip of paper. And it's a ruler. So take that out and have that ready at the end of the message today. And we're going to do a little exercise. So if you have one, keep it. Cool. All right, and so today I want to identify and define for us one of the initial concepts for our church, and one of the major core values for us as a church, and that is that we believe that we're not just existing just to exist on a weekly basis, just to have another number to add to the record number of churches that are in Charlotte. And we believe we don't just exist to have a place for you to come each Sunday, but we believe that we are a church and that we exist for the world. We exist for other people outside of these walls. And that's incredibly important in light of the things that's happening in the world today. And you can't even turn on the news today without, you know, seeing some dramatic scene of crime or, or despair or famine or war or turmoil or conflict. And you see that it's increasing on a never before seen scale. So the question is, what in the world are we going to do about it? And most everyone is pointing to, well, you know, let's just say it, the political arena for the solution to our problem. And while that can be a solution to the problems of today, I don't believe that that is the only solution for us today. And I really believe that God has called the church, capital C church, to rise up at this hour, to be a solution and to bring light into the midst of the darkness in this world. And so one of the questions that people hear in the context of church, you'll hear over and over again, this context, this question of, are we living in the last days? And I mean, it sure seems to be escalating a lot quickly. Things are happening at an abnormal pace, from the climate to war, to this drama on the television that we see every day. And so you may ask, well, are we living in these last days? And well, I don't know. And honestly, Jesus doesn't even know. So I think it'd be crazy for we to be able to know if the Bible says that Jesus doesn't even know, that God the Father only knows when he's coming back. And so all I know is this, he's ready to come back. And the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I think he looks every day down at earth and he goes over to his father and says, Father, Dad, I've got the horses ready. I'm ready to go get my bride ready. I'm ready. When can I go? And I think he's ready. But there are places in the Bible where it says you can know what it's going to look like when Christ returns or when it's about to be all over. And so that there are signs of the times. And in fact, Jesus devoted an entire chapter, Matthew chapter 24, to this topic, where he says to what the signs would look like before he would come. And one of those, by the way, he said that this gospel will be preached to every nation. And that word nation is not geographic or boundary nation, but the word in the Greek for nation is ethnos or ethnicity, so every people group. And this gospel will be preached to every people group, and then the end shall come, it says. And there are about 196, maybe 197, we'll see, you know, about 197 different countries in the world today. But there are thousands and thousands of different people groups. And by the way, those are being reached at an increasing pace and increasing manner right now, more than ever before, as far as unreached people groups hear the word of Jesus and the gospel. And that's mainly because of technology. But there is still a great need to reach those, and we're working very hard toward that end. So I'll just tell you this. This is not a time not to be ready.
Right.
We're going to go with some double negatives here. This is not a time not to be ready. And it's not only not a time not to be ready. It's a time to recognize what your role in these last days are. And so I want to focus on one phrase that Jesus actually used in that explanation in Matthew chapter 24. And it's on your screen here so you can follow along. And where he said, and you can clear the background there. I normally do this, so thank you. Yeah. Woo. Awesome. Thank you, Karen, for filling in for me today.
Yeah.
And so it says, as it was. So in other words, in the exact same way, as it was in the days of Noah, hey, this is what it's going to look like in the last days, in today's day. And which begs the question, well, what did it look like in the days of Noah? And so we're going to study that today. And a lot of you guys already know the Noah story. I mean, you don't even have to be a Christian or even be a member of a church to know the Noah story. It's one of the early stories in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 6, where there was so much wickedness on the earth. And God had a plan to just basically wipe it out and start completely over. But he didn't. And he actually, instead, found a person named Noah, where he said, God's saying, hey, I'll save you and your family, and you're going to build this ark. And, you know, the animals would come two by two, and to which some people would say, oh, well, that's just an Old Testament fairy tale. Don't take it literally. That's just symbolic. You know, take the parts that you will, you know, be able to fit in your brain. That's not literal. But did you know that there's actually scientific evidence of a worldwide flood? I mean, you can believe whatever you want to about the validity of the story, but I personally believe it happened the exact same way the Bible described. And yet today there are more and more people who are putting their logic into God's economy. And I'll tell you what, God will never be reduced down to the size of your brain, and I'll guarantee you that.
Right.
And so just when you think you've got it all figured out, well, let me tell you a story. I've heard this story, and you might have heard this before. It's about a little girl in elementary school who wrote a term paper on Jonah, and how Jonah was swallowed by the whale, and how God protected Jonah. But the teacher wasn't a believer, and the teacher got mad, and he she told the little girl, the student, well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There's no way, it's physically impossible, no whale would, well, no man would ever be able to fit through the throat of a whale, nevertheless survive inside the stomach for 3 days. That's ridiculous. And so the little girl, she wasn't gonna back down. Well, she said to the teacher, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah myself. And so the teacher says, yeah, but what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? And the little girl in her sass said, well, then you can ask him. And so the moral of that one is to never argue with children. And so actually in Genesis chapter 6, let's go back and focus on the Noah story. And it basically says, I flipped my page, but here we go. And there's two things I want you to notice in this story. And the first is that the Lord sees the wickedness in the Noah story in Genesis chapter 6. And so the Lord sees the wickedness. And remember, Jesus said, hey, just like it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the last days. And so, well, God sees man's wickedness. And so God is watching the news too, so to speak. He's not oblivious to what's going on. And he says, so that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And that just seems to be going on in an increasing measure today. And in this story, as it goes on, God was grieved. And I want to submit to you that God was grieved, but he wasn't worried, as the next verse goes. And he wasn't worried, but his heart, it says his heart was filled with pain. And it goes on to say, so the Lord says that he will wipe out mankind, his whole creation, from the face of the earth. And he says, well, I'm just going to end this. There's no other way. I'm just going to end this. And it goes on to say that, you know, men and animals, creatures move along the ground, birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. He was upset that he had made them in the first place. But instead of doing that, God does something else that you need to know. Because remember, Jesus said, just like in those days, it'll be today. And so the next verse goes on to say, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So instead of destroying his creation, instead of just ending it all and starting over, God's looking for somebody.
Right.
God's solution for what's going on in the news is you. God's looking for someone. God's looking for someone, for a lack of a better way to put it, for someone who says, I'll be a part of doing something to make a difference.
Yes.
I'll do my part to make a difference.
Yes.
And now the reason I'm teaching this is because this is the core of what we are about here at Crosspoint.
Right.
And for you guys who are trying to figure out whether this should be your home church or not, you should really know the agenda of the church. And you should know these four things that we do. Because we believe we are called by God to lead you through four experiences. And if you've attended CrossFit for a while, this should be basic knowledge. You should have this memorized. That should be a good thing. We want this to be basic information for you. And the first is that, and it'll be on your screen here. The first is that we want you to know God. And you can't do anything until you first get this step taken care of. And let me say it this way. If you're not a Christian, there should be nothing else you should be worrying about except this first step to right. know God.
Yes.
And that is, how do I get to God? So, but once you get to God, once you have a real relationship with God, your first step after that is to settle your yesterdays. Or another way that we put it is find freedom. If that once and for all, I'm going to settle my yesterday. I'm going to deal with the stuff that's trying to hold me back right. and stop me. And so then we do the third thing, which is to discover your purpose. And because you can't live your purpose if you don't know what it is. And we all have different gifts. We all are a minister. And you have a unique gift for a specific time and a specific place. But at the end of our vision, we articulate it this way. Our ultimate goal for everyone is not for you to just fill this room every Sunday. Our ultimate goal isn't for you to just get saved or for you to be a Christian. But it's for you to go beyond that first step of knowing God. It's for you to find freedom, discover purpose, and then to make a difference. And I say that because that's not just our hope, that's Christ's hope for you today. And so if you want to know what God's solution is, if you've ever been guilty of saying, oh my goodness, God, do something, I would say to you that he's thrown it right back at you and saying, well, you do something. I've empowered you, you do something. I'm going to give you abilities, I'm going to give you strengths and passions, I'm going to give you an unique way to reach the people around you, that you can make a difference in your community. So I just want to say to you, because it's pretty important when we go to a church, again, to know what their agenda is. So our agenda, and the four things that we do, is know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And we do that through our weekend service, small groups, growth track, and dream team. And we have one. That is our agenda. And that is to take you on a journey, if you'll let me, and let us. And the end result is this, in the next verse here, which says that basically the end result would be so that this verse would be the tombstone
at your grave, that this would be the tombstone at the memorial service for every one of us, so that Theron Hobbs and Dwayne Stone and Laura Garza and Jeremy Edwards, this would be what people would say for us, that they served God's purpose, that they just didn't just go on vacations or go to football games or go to the mall and then pay bills or to have families, but no, they served God's purpose in their own generation, and then they went to heaven. And notice that the Bible here in the first, for David, it didn't say that he died, it just says that he fell asleep, that his body died, but David lived forever. That with the, being a Christian, you never taste death, that you slip from life to life. Amen. That the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with God in heaven. Right. And your body will die one day, but you never will. You'll just go to sleep. And in the meantime, your whole life is about this verse. Read this. I'm just making this request to you now so that if you're attending my memorial service one day, hopefully 1,000 years from now, that I want you to say, man, Theron did his best. He served God's purpose in his generation, and he made a difference, and then God took him to heaven. And I really believe that's what God is calling us to do today. And so I want to show you how you can make a difference. And you've got to believe. You have to believe that you can be a difference maker. And so there's going to be 3 quick areas, and normally we have a note, so this would be a little check section. So this is a section called, I Can Make a Difference. So here we go. So jot these down, and then we're going to talk about the stuff that I think may be stopping us from making a difference. So 3 areas that I want to encourage us to make a difference. So the first is to make a difference for those closest to me, for those closest around me. So let me say it this way. This is your first calling. This is your first calling is not to the world. It's not even to your country. Your first calling is to those that God has placed around you, that God has already put in your life. And God has called you to make a difference to those who are already around you in some kind of way. And I'll show it to you in the Noah story. So in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, God basically said, well, hey, Noah, go build an ark for you and your whole family. And he says, watch this. I'm going to save you and your whole family. And when I save you, when God's speaking, when I save you, I'm going to do something in your life, and you're going to realize that the difference that I make in your life is going to have an impact on the people around you. Yeah. And let me give you actually a New Testament illustration of this verse, Acts chapter 16, where it kind of sounds strange when I read it the first time, because it says that you will be saved, you and your whole household. And so you may be telling me, well, you're saying, Theron, are you saying, can I, you know, when I get saved, that I automatically have, when I go to heaven, I get saved, but automatically the rest of my household or my family goes with me? And no, that's not really what it's saying, but if you look in the original language in the Greek, it literally reads this way. The word household is the word oikos, or oikos in the Greek, which means your sphere of influence. So it would read this way. If you get saved, you'll be saved, but it will also have an impact into those who are closest to you, you and your sphere of influence. So I'm talking about your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates, your relatives. Everyone should see Christ's light shining through you. And in fact, this is God's plan for you. And I want to make it very clear, especially if you're going to cross point home, and you need to realize that you are called of God. And I want to stir it up. I want to make a difference to those and those closest to you. So one of the things that we tell you, and we tell you this in our membership class, which is actually step 2 of the Cross Point Growth Track, and we're Pastor Theron, every month that we offer the step 2, he'll say, so if you're a Christian and you become a member of Cross Point, of this church, then at least one Sunday, well, better yet, two Sundays out of the 52 Sundays out of the year, that you need to have an oikos friend sitting next to you. Someone in your sphere of influence, an unchurched, far from God person sitting right next to you in church, just get them here. And as we say, we'll create a great experience, and there will be laughter, and there will be God, and we'll explain the gospel very clearly. And we'll even tell you there are some Sundays that it may be better for others, that this next upcoming series is very evangelical, this is a good time of harvest in the fall or in the early spring, and we'll say, this is very good for visitors, now's your time, don't miss it, here's your good chance, this is going to be a great service of this day, and so just get them here, and let me just put it this way, we'll do what, and we, whoever's speaking, me or my father, whoever, and we'll do what you can't do, perhaps, and we'll do what, and you'll do what we can't do, if you got that straight. Yeah. So, I don't know your friends, so I can't invite them, you know them, so you can invite them, and you may, perhaps, not be able to explain it in a way that they want it. And so let's partner. And then on that Sunday when they're here, it all matters. I mean, the songs that they play, they matter. It's like, Dwayne, do not play that song. It's been on since Chris Tomlin has worn out that song on television and on TV forever.
do not play that song. Play this song, please. It's cool. All my hip friends will like it. That's what they play at the big church. Please. And so you'll say, well, you know, so it matters because you've got your friend there. It matters to you more. It will matter. Yeah, English. And so there's a little nervousness whenever they're here. You know, we get to that point in the service where Pastor Theron, or the speaker that week, says, well, at the end of the message, every head bowed, every eye closed. And an unchurched person is sitting next to you. Well, as we said before, I'm giving you permission to peek. I'm giving you permission to have your head bowed, but one eye open. And when their hand slips up, or when they have tears strolling down their face, you'll be able to say that, yes, he's right. This is what I was called to do. This is the difference that I was called to make in my generation, Amen. In somebody's life. And I want to encourage you to make a difference in those closest to you. This is your first calling, to make a difference in those closest to you. And so here's the second one. This is a little radical for some, but follow me for a little bit here. And this is that you can make a difference for your generation, for my generation. And when I say generation, I'm talking about the place where you live today. I'm talking about America. And so I'm giving you this one because I'm particularly stirred right now of what's going on in, the political world. And whatever your political belief, it doesn't matter, but that's not the point here. It's just that there is a lot of bellyaching going on right now. I mean, you see it everywhere, just drama, strife, turmoil, everybody hates each other. Look at the news. Look at these people. It's crazy. You know, I, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, then why don't you? Why don't you? Instead of being the recipient of what the world is dishing out to us, instead of letting culture change us right in front of our eyes, and the Christians are standing over there in their churches just praying and just oblivious to what's going on, why don't you be the change? Why don't we stand up and say, no, we don't believe it that way. We believe it should be this way. Go run for office. Run for a school board. CMS, go help it. Run for the city council. Be the next mayor of your town. Why not? Go for it. Be the change. This is your generation too, as much as it is the world's. And I'm going to I'm going to serve God and his purpose for my generation, and then I'll go to heaven, just like David. And you do not have to let it impact you. In fact, the Bible says it in this way, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, that you're to influence your culture, do not let your culture influence you. And it's an opportunity for us. And I'm trying to stir this inside of you to be a difference maker. And so here's the last one. So first would be for those closest to me, then for my generation, and also be a difference maker for God, just for God. Because God is looking for people. And I just want to say it very plain. This is just basically cookies on the bottom shelf, that God is looking for someone. He wants you. He needs you. He chooses to need you. He chooses to count on you. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles that his eyes are rolling throughout the earth, to and fro, back and forth, looking for somebody, looking to show himself strong through somebody on behalf of him.
Yes.
Someone who is full-hearted, loyal. And basically he's saying, I just need somebody to show up. I just need somebody to do it, to make a difference for me, to make a difference for God. And I just want to pause right here and just say that there are many people each and every week here that serve on our Crosspoint Dream Team. And we just want to give a shout out right here. Every week, basically, there are people here that show up 3 hours before the service to make sure you have a good worship experience. There are people that sweat out in the parking lot before the service to make sure you get into the building in a safely manner. There are people who get up early and serve coffee and make cups of coffee for you each and every week. There are people who are behind the computer screens and controlling the lights and visuals every week. They do not get a break. And there are people right now serving in the nursery that are creating a quiet room in here right now. Or people at Crosspoint Kids that are serving and praying with little girls, giving their prayer requests each week and telling them about the love of Jesus. And that they're all doing right now. And there are those who are leading a small group in the fall and in the summer. We just finished a semester of the summer. We're looking forward to the fall semester. And can we just give a massive shout out of appreciation right now for the kids? The green team. But here's my point. It's okay with you, like I just described, but it can be better with you. It's okay without you, but it can be better with you. And we'd be a whole lot better with you.
Amen.
And there's a place for each and every one of you on the dream team, no matter what your gift is, no matter what your talent is, no matter what your past is. And actually, today is step four of the Crosspoint Growth Track. And the first step basically is all about you and God. The second step is all about you and the church. The third step is all about you and your gifts, but the fourth step, today's step, is all about finding a team. And I think, basically, I think I would do best if I was serving here, or if I was doing that, or I think I could sing better than him, or da-da-da-da-da, you know. So there we go. And so God is looking for difference makers. And the truth is, many don't. Many of you are serving, but there's still room. And not only do we need you, God needs you. The truth is there's a great reluctance. And in fact, the only place where Jesus commented on the solution to a hurting earth, here's what he said. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He goes like this, that basically if we could just figure out a way for more people to get to the game, figure out a way to get more people making a difference, all throughout the Bible we'll see that theme. So I just want to transition here to talk about four hindrances that I think keep us from making a difference. And so let's look at Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 on the screen here. Where it says, I look for a man, and it doesn't just mean a male. In the original language here, man is meant for mankind in the Hebrew. It says, I look for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, speaking of God. And I couldn't find anybody to actually do it. I was looking for somebody to step up, but I was looking for somebody to do something, but nobody showed up. And I needed someone to say, I'll do it. And honestly, there's reluctance. So while preparing for this message this week, again, I asked myself, why would someone say no to that? Why would someone say no to making a difference? And the number one reason I could think of, really, is fear. And so I want to give you four fears that I want to dispel to help you make a difference, and four fears that will really keep you from making a difference. And so this is, number one, some of you are going to be afraid of the past. Some of you are afraid of the past, and you're afraid of your past, not just the past, your past. And so here's how it goes. Hey, come on, be on a team, be on a team. Well, I'd love to, but you don't know how many marriages I've had. You don't know what my past looks like. You don't know what I did last night. You don't even have any idea. But I would just like to say to you that when Jesus was building his team, he didn't go to the religious and the perfect. He went to the everyday common person, and he said, I'll take you, and I'll make a difference in your life, and I'll show myself strong through you.
Yes. Yes.
Because God knows your past, and he doesn't just want you to stay in it. But God says that I can heal it, and I can forgive you from it, so that you can move from that and then go be a difference maker. Amen. And your past does not disqualify you. In fact, it probably qualifies you all the more. Yes. Because who would the hurting people want to hear from than other hurting people?
Right.
And that have been through the same exact thing, but just now find themselves on the other side of it. And that's where the Bible is clear in this next verse, when it says that God's gifts, so your abilities and God's call, which is on your life, are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. Mm. And there's nothing you can do to disqualify yourself. You can ask God to forgive you and heal you so that you can be the change. And I want to encourage you in that today. It's really important. And so too many people are trying to hide behind their stuff, their past. And so here's the way I'd like to say it to you on the screen here. You can write this down. You have to let go of the past so it can let go of you. Let me say it this way. Your past will never let go of you until you step away from it. You're sitting there waiting for God to take it, to make a difference for you. No, God's waiting for you to step out of it, for you to go do something that gets your mind off of your past and gets your mind off of your problems and gets your mind focused on other people and to make a difference. Then you'll find where you yourself and your problems will be taken care of because you're ministering to other people. And so here's number two. So number one would be that you're afraid of the past. So number two, for some people, their fear is that they're afraid of the crowd. And this is a conviction right here. So, hey, I'm nervous. Here we go. So they're afraid of the crowd. And this is a great message for young people or for a lot of you men or just people in general. And that you worry too much about what people think. And well, let's just say that thank God Noah didn't. That Noah didn't worry about the crowd. I mean, it would probably go something like this. Dude, what are you doing? Well, building a boat. Well, what's a boat? Yeah, well, it floats on water. What's water? It's going to rain? Well, never seen that either. Well, you will. And so I'm sure they mocked Noah. They mocked him. They ridiculed him for what he was doing, but he was just nailing away, you know?
Yeah.
And now some of that, for some of you, you're afraid of what people think. Some of you won't even pray in a public place in a restaurant. You know, you'll just kind of look around and, you know, hurry up, Dad, squeeze your hand. Hurry up, finish. Somebody's at the fish camp is looking at us. They're judging us. And so Christians are also intimidated these days. Christians are intimidated these days. While the world is as loud and proud about their ways as ever before, and since when do Christians have to be the silent people of our culture? Hey, everybody, stand up, be bold, man up, it's
yes.
time.
Yes.
And so
Amen.
There's this verse in Proverbs actually talks about that, where it says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, to snare you, but whoever trusts in the Lord, that's the person who's going to be kept safe. And don't you be ashamed of your God. You don't have to be all crazy and goofy so that people lose respect for you. But you don't have to be silent, everybody.
That's right.
So don't be afraid and stand up and serve your God. And some of you are that way in worship. It's, you know, I'm that way too. That's why I'm behind a computer, so I can't lift my hands. But it's like people when they're in worship. Worship's going, and you're just struggling the whole time. You know, you're trying not to show emotion because that person 5 rows away from me is going to look at you and, oh no, it, you know, I'm just trying so hard, and I just don't want to show emotion. Don't lift up a hand. And you want to so bad, but let's just say we're not looking at you. We're looking at God or those cool lights, either one. Amen. There we go. And but basically, go ahead. You need to go ahead and go all in. And so some of you are hanging back, and you're worried about whether people are thinking about you. And actually, the church in Europe was this way during the Holocaust. So as the story goes, as the trains went by filled with Jewish people, as they were being led off to slaughter, as the train track may have rode by a church, that the people in the church would just, quote, sing louder so that they wouldn't have to hear the roar of the train. Let that not be so in this generation. And here's another one to write down. Basically, it says, to be a difference maker, you have to be more concerned about obeying God than looking foolish. So, number two was being afraid of the crowd. So number three, here's the third thing. Let me talk about this first. This is where some of you are, that you're afraid of just taking the first step. And have you ever noticed how, you know, just that first step is the hardest? That first step is just the hardest. It's just hard to get started, the momentum. And it's kind of like a swimming pool. You know, you stand in front of a swimming pool, and you know it's probably fine. You know it's probably not too cold, but then you just put your foot in, you just one toe at a time. Oh my goodness, oh, that's terrible. You know, you're really timid about stepping in, and then you'll probably do the other wrong thing to do, which is a slow crawl, and it's just, oh, it's so bad, I can't take it. But, you know, the right way probably to do is just to jump all in, and it's gone after a second, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what some of you need to do spiritually. And basically, again, thank God that Noah didn't wait. And the Bible says in Genesis again, or actually in Hebrews, because it refers to Genesis, and it says that by faith Noah, when he was warned about the things not yet seen, he just picked up a hammer. He just went ahead and started building an ark, no matter what the people said around him. He didn't know how this was going to work, but he took the first step. He probably didn't have all the architectural plans drafted and signed and sealed and ready to go and all the permits, but he just took the first step. And I think God has been trying to nudge you to take that first step, to be at the line of the first step. And some of you have been resisting. So my hope for you today is that this would be your final nudge. And so I'm going to, getting close to concluding, I'm going to give you a verse here as found in 1 Kings. And I'm going to get, then after I read this verse, I'm going to give you some nudges, and then we'll conclude. So 1 Kings puts it this way. The Lord says, go out and stand on the mountain. So that at that first step line, the presence of God is going to come. God's about to show up, for the Lord is about to pass by, as it says in the verse. And watch this, in the next verse. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. But God wasn't in that wind. It goes on to say, and after the wind came, there was an earthquake, but God was not in that earthquake. And after there was a fire, but God was not in that fire. Now watch this. And then came what one translation says, a still, small voice, or a gentle whisper. So for some of you, that's probably today. Yeah, I think that the Holy Spirit might be saying for you, some of you, that God's been whispering things like, don't do it. Don't do it. You're about to give in. You're about to make that decision. You're about to cave in. You're about to cross the line. The Holy Spirit's been convicting you of to cross, to not cross. Don't do it. For others, it's the opposite. Do it. Come on. Isn't it time? Isn't it about time? Aren't you tired of sitting here week after week going through the same monotonous things of 4 songs and message and then having roast beef after service? Here we go. Yeah. And aren't you sick of this waiting of being the onlooker with one foot in, one foot out? Get in the game. And so what about this next one? Hang in there. I know you're tired. I know that they're wearing you out. And I know you don't see any hope of what's going to happen, whether it's tomorrow or this week, but there is hope. Don't give up. So what about this next one? Take the risk. I know it's going to feel like a risk, but it's not as bad as you think it is. So don't give up. How about this one? Apologize now. But they were wrong. Well, yes, I know it may be right, but you have the ability to make it right. You don't have to admit that you did it, but you can say, well, come on, let's get through this together. Or how about this one? Get help. It's addiction. It's time for you to get some help. It's time for you to talk to somebody, to get in a small group. It's time for you to admit that you cannot battle this by yourself. What about this one? That's a good one. Slow down. You're not going to be able to survive these last days running at the pace of your own. I'm telling you that now. Summer is almost over. Fall's about to start. It's about to get hectic. People are going back to school. You better reduce your life down to the things that matter the most. How about this one? This is one of my favorites. There's more. So you've come to church, and you're kind of tiptoeing around this whole Christianity thing, and you've got part of it, you got part of you in, but deep down you know that there's more. You know there's more, and you've just been afraid to go into the deeper parts of God. Well, don't be afraid. God only has good things for you. How about this one? It's time. So it's not like next time we do the growth track, or next month, or next semester. Why not today? It's time. There's one more. You can do it. And that is, I would think that the Holy Spirit's whispering to you, hey, you can do it. Well, you may say, well, no, I can't. Well, the Holy Spirit will say, yes, you can do it with my help if I'm going to come along. God says, I can help you. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it because God's going to help you. And so, what's the point? Well, you have to step out to find out. You're never going to know. You're never going to know how to make a difference. You're never going to sit here hearing this type of message about our purpose and how to make a difference every 3 to 4 months from whoever's on the stage. And you're never going to be a difference maker if you're looking on from the outside. You're only going to find out if you step out and actually decide. And so that may be for you. Well, I've decided I just want to lead a small group this upcoming semester. I'm scared to death. And some of you, you wouldn't realize how much you would grow if you led a small group. You need to feel the terror when you're hosting a small group in your home and the doorbell rings. And you're like, oh no, God, please help me. The dog better not mess on the floor. Please, no. And so to get away from that struggle, I'd say, hey, show up at a disc golf course and you don't have to clean up your house. Woo. But many of you need that. Many of you are stuck in a safe Christianity. And so you'll find yourself praying more. You'll find yourself needing God more and relying to be closer to Him. And so here's the last fear. And I'm going to close with this one. And I've got an illustration afterwards, so don't put your stuff away. And this is the final one. And so my favorite part of the whole Noah story is, well, the rainbow thing, right? In chapter 9 of Genesis, it goes on to say that God said, I placed the rainbow. Well, what is it there for, God? It's His presence. It was a sign. Well, He says, well, what you would say, what's the promise? Well, that promise, it's the same promise that God's always made. It was actually the last words of Jesus. Where he basically says, I'm going to be with you. I mean, the Bible says basically, I know it's just rain, but guess what? Rainbow. I know it's you're going through a hard time in your life, but guess what? Rainbow. I'm always there with you. I know I can't survive this next term paper, God, but I'm going to be there with you. Rainbow. That's God's promise for us, everything that we go through. And so everyone who's afraid of failure, you don't have to be afraid because God's going to help you. And in conclusion, you see that I dropped these here. If you take out your ruler, so you take this ruler, and you'll see that there are some numbers on there. By 10, and it's 1 to 120. Hopefully everybody has one. These represent years. Surprise. And first, I want you to bend it at the best guess of the age you'll be when you die. So bend it horizontally along that line of the best guess of the age that you'll be when you die. So I am picking 116. Woo! All right, and just bend it a couple times. 116, there we go. You're like, yeah, you're a liar. All those cokes are no freaking way. So tear it right there along that line. You tear it. Say that. So bend it and then tear it along that line. And so take that part of the paper that you just tore off, and this part of the paper is going to heaven. So there you go, see you in heaven. The rest of my life is is in heaven. And then so next you have your current age. So I want you to find your current age, don't lie, and bend it at that age. So that age is 24 for me. And bend it a couple times at that age, right across that age, and then tear it off. And now take the part that you just tore off. Hopefully it's a small part. If anybody's smaller than me, congrats. And so this part is not going to heaven. This part is going in the trash can because this is your past, this is all your regrets, this is all your failures, this is your past, this is your excuses. And you can do nothing about this little piece of paper because this is in your past. But you see, you know what this little paper is? It's the rest of your life. In some, it's a lot longer than others. But this little paper is the rest of your life. This is all you have left. Some of you are thinking, well, this is a tiny piece of paper. Yep, this is all you have left in the scope of eternity. What are you going to do during this section of the paper to make a difference? And so basically put this piece of paper that's left over on your desk at work, put it on your fridge at home, and let it remind you, hey, make a difference. There's only a little bit of time left. And let's pray. Father, for this time, this little piece of paper is just so little. This little bit of time, God. God, I want to make a difference for those closest to me. I want to make a difference, God, in my generation. God, I want to make a difference for you. Thank you, God, that you even chose to pick me, that you picked me to be a part of it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that the fear of my past is gone. And the fears, God, of taking next steps. And the fears, God, of what people think about me. And the fear of failure. I remember the story of Noah. I remember the rainbow. That you're always with me. And I'm not going to live by fear, God. I'm going to live knowing that you're on my side. That you've chosen me to be an answer in the world around me. In the world, in my generation. So join me in prayer. So God, I dedicate this little piece of paper to you. I take this time. This time I'm going to use with this time, I'm going to do the best I can to make the biggest difference in my life for you. Amen. And at this time I'm going to ask my Father to conclude the service. And thank you so much for having me today.
Wow. Something to really think about there, isn't it? Bow your heads with me. You talked about taking that step. Most important thing is to take that first step. For many, that first step is that first point of things we focus on around here, and that is knowing God. I want to simply lead in a prayer right now. If that's you, you say, I need to make sure today. Jesus is coming soon. Life is short. Your life can matter and you can make a difference. But it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. So whether you're here in person or watching online, I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment, of surrender. But right now, if that's you, I want you to be bold. Be bold. Say, that's me. As you pray that prayer, Pastor, count me in. Slip up a hand right now. Just lift it up. Put it right back down. Yes. Good job. Good job. Good job. If you're watching online, pray along with us. I want to ask everybody to pray this prayer for support out loud. Come on, right now. I'm just going to help you with the words. Just mean it. Today, Lord Jesus, come on, sing it. Today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for caring about me.
Thank you for caring about me.
Thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for my life. I want my life to matter. So today, I'm asking you to settle my past. Forgive me for yesterday. All my mistakes. All my failures. All my sins. I thank you today that you have paid for them all. You paid for it when you died on the cross for me. You paid my debt in full. So in faith, I turn to you. I accept what you did for me. I accept the gift of life. I turn from my way, from my past. And I accept you now. Come. Live on the inside. Make me brand new. Today, I give you my life. Be the Lord of all. Change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for every person who's invited you to come. Change them. And even now, we've made this declaration of faith in you, Lord. Today, the past is gone. Today, we're brand new this moment on the inside. Today, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus because of what you did for us. Thank you, Jesus, for taking that step for us, for taking that huge step where you stepped off of your throne in heaven and came to this earth and died on the cross so that we could experience life. Lord, today, you decided long ago that we matter. Oh, God, thank you that we matter to you. Now, Lord, you have come and you have changed us so that we can matter. Lord, that what we do matters for eternity's sake. Help us today, God, to be, Lord, those ones that say, God, here am I. Send me. Lord, may you find favor, oh God, in us. And God, use us to make a difference, to impact this world. God, we'll give you all the glory for everything. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give God praise.